Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Beulah. Praise God. And welcome to everyone who is online with us tonight. I congratulate you again, and I welcome you to day number 24, 30 days of planting the heavens. I know that the Lord has been mighty good to us, and I thank God for what He continues to do in our midst. I know it is not over yet. So I encourage you to gird up the loins of your minds and to let's press forward into the greater things that God has for us. If you are excited, shout a living hallelujah.
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 Amen. 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 Praise God. If you do have your 2015 confession, I want us to go into it tonight quickly. Let's go, everyone. 2, 3, go. 2015 is my year of heaven on earth. I am rising up, and heaven is coming down to me. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly places. The Garden of Eden is my new reality. Days of heaven upon the earth are here to stay. Days of laughing, singing, praising, celebrating, rejoicing, and dancing will never end. Welcome heaven, welcome Eden. I am a loved child of a loved God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost are the new constant in my life. No more crying, no more whining. Goodbye, death, disease, sorrow, sickness, pain, and failure. Former things have passed away, and all things have become new. The night season is over. Daybreak is finally here. Good morning, Coyote. For as surely as the earth brings forth her voice, and as the garden causes the things sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth out of my life. Exceeding grace will make the difference in my destiny. Zoe life, the superabundant yamu life of God, will continually overflow in me. Light be, I am free from every yoke and chain of darkness. This is my walk over here. Divine wisdom will distinguish me. The God kind of faith will make a giant out of me. My due season of harvest is here. I am walking in God's due order. The covenant worketh, and every precious seed I sow is returning to me speedily with multiplied increase. I am walking over frustration, dysfunction, delay, miscarriage, stagnation, and abortion. Every kind of verdict hereby terminated. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 2015 is my year of heaven on earth. I am rising up. Heaven is coming down to me. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly places. The Garden of Eden is my new reality. Days of heaven upon the earth are here to stay. Days of laughing, singing, praising, celebrating, rejoicing, and dancing will never end. Welcome heaven, welcome Eden. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Lord, we give you praise tonight for causing our hearts to be inclined to your word. We release all that you have ordained for this service. We give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Beloved, I welcome you again to day number 24 of 30 days of planting the heavens. If you would remember, you would recall that in the last couple of sessions or so, we started discussing beyond the Daniel fast. What are the things we need to commit to doing after the Daniel fast is over? Praise God for the blessing of being able to wait on the Lord for 21 days. But if that's what we do, 21 days is not even the tithe of the year. If that's all we do and we leave it there, then we fall short of the great things that God has in plan for us. If we don't carry on with some of the principles that we have learned in this season, if we don't continue to hold on to the things that the Lord has ministered to us, then God forbid we might lose the things that we have been blessed with. I pray tonight that in the name of Jesus, our spirits will become open, our eyes will be enlightened, and we'll be able to walk even higher into the next thing that God has for us. We identify the first thing that we need to make a commitment to is the honor of God. The honor of God. To honor God first. To honor God first. Honor His person. Honor His places, His possessions, His people, His process, His prophets. To honor God is awesome because the Bible says, they that honor me, I will honor. Well, we want to move on to the next thing tonight because honor is not enough. Honor is the first thing, but honor is not enough. Honor is not all there is to it. Thank God everything rides on the honor of God. But there is so much more that we need to commit to even as the year rolls along. I want you to turn with me back in your Bibles to 1 Kings in chapter 18. You remember that that was our main scripture. We read it. We read the entire thing from verse 1, I believe, to verse 46, about 3 or 4 days ago when we first began this. Tonight, we're going to press forward and we are going to look further at some of the things that the Lord has prepared for us, things that can enlarge us, things that can enable us to continue to plant the blessings of heaven upon the earth. 1 Kings chapter 18, and I want us to read from verse 21. We're going to read all the way to verse 33. Now, we've read the entire chapter, so we don't have that much time. I don't want us to go back and read the entire thing. Let's read from verse 21 to 33, and then 38 and 39. It says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." Obviously, they had not made up their minds. "Then Elijah said unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. And let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on the wood and put no fire under and call you on the name of your gods. And I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answered by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophet of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leapt upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. He is either talking or he is pursuing or he is on a journey or peradventure he is taking a nap and he must be awake. And they cried aloud and they cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Verse 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Notice, he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. First he said, come near unto me. And when all the people came near unto him, then he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Verse 31. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar. He built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. Verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. You notice, God did get him honor. He did get him honor. And though they would not fall on their faces at the beginning and honor him, at the end, after his fire fell, they did fall on their faces and they honored him. Tonight, I want us to talk about a very important aspect of our relationship with God. This is one of the most important areas. Actually, these last few days, and I do encourage you, it's awesome because as we approach the end, today is day 24, so you can imagine where this is crunch time, where just a few days away from day 30, and I can just sense so strong how the anointing of God is increasing on his word, and how there's some pertinent things that we need to receive and lay hold of. I pray that you are not someone who's received a part, and then on day 21, you started to skip, and then you disappeared altogether, and you didn't get everything. I pray that you run your race all the way till the end, and that you receive all that God has for you in this season. Thank God you are where you are with God, and we are here with God, and all of us can be hooked up together in the Spirit to receive all that the Lord has for us. We've talked about committing to honor God. Tonight, I want us to talk about a most important aspect of our relationship with God, and I call this repair the altar. Repair the altar. And you see that in verse 30. The Bible says, Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. So in order to repair the altar first, you have to come near unto him. And then all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. I want you to notice, he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He took 12 stones. That's government, order, priority, and all of that. And he lined everything up the way it should have been and cut trenches around the altar. And the Bible says when they were done and he called upon the name of the Lord, the fire of God fell. So I want us to talk about repair the altar and keep it alive with fire throughout this year. Repair the altar and keep it alive with fire throughout this year. Altar, the word altar in the Bible, A-L-T-A-R, is a very exciting word. From the very first appearance of that word, the very first appearance is in Genesis chapter 8, when Noah set up an altar and made sacrifice. I'm going to read that in a minute. And to the very last appearance in the book of Revelation, from the first one all the way to the last one, that word altar in the Bible represents worship. It represents worship. It's a place, a time, and a purpose to spend time with God practicing His presence. It's a place, a time, and a purpose to spend time with God practicing His presence. As most of you are aware, during our Daniel fast, two of the major things that we did was we set a time every morning when all of us came together and we worshiped, we prayed, and we lifted up ourselves before God, our issues before God, and we took our confession. And then at night, by 9 p.m., we'll come together. And during the course of the day, as individuals, we took time, sometimes to pray, sometimes to study the Word, sometimes just to be in the presence of God and just worship Him. Now, all of that is our altar. It's our altar. So Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord that had been broken down. Notice, the altar was there, but it was not functional. The altar was existent, but it was not functional. That's very much like the altar in many believers' lives. It is existent. It is there, but it is broken down. It is not functional. They don't have a place. They don't have a time. And they don't have a purpose to spend time with God on a regular, daily, weekly, ongoing basis, practicing the presence of God. The altar is a very, very, very powerful place. The altar is a powerful place. The reason it is powerful is because the presence of God always dwells there. The presence of God always dwells there. From the very, very first altar, we see how that altar attracted the presence of God. In Genesis 8, verse 20 to 22, the Bible says, "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." Notice, when Noah set up his altar, the Bible says in the Amplified, the Lord smelled the pleasing odor, a scent of satisfaction to his heart. That is what worship does to God. It creates a pleasing odor. It creates a scent of satisfaction to him. From that very first altar that was set up in Genesis chapter 8, you see worship. You see how Noah laid all the sacrifice out and he reared up worship before the Lord. To one of the very last altars that we see, active altars, in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 11, verse 1, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein." Notice, rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. Revelation chapter 11, verse 1. The altar represents the worship of God. If we are going to enjoy the best of God in this year, if we are going to manifest the promises that God has made to us, if we are going to walk in the full blessings of the provision that God has made for us in this season and in this year, we must prioritize the altar of God. We must prioritize the altar of God. Notice, Elijah repaired the altar that was broken down. What's a broken down altar? It's an altar that exists, but it is not functional. So it's there. It's almost a figure of speech. It's almost just a sign, an emblem. But it is not serving its purpose. So that means either the place is not fixed and is not regular, or the time is not fixed and is not regular, or the purpose to spend time with God practicing His presence is not happening on a regular basis. We must prioritize the altar of God, the personal altar that we by ourselves have as individuals, what we call, what many people call the family altar, which is a shared altar between people in the same household from time to time, the office altar, which is an altar that you have during your break times that you are able to get away from your regular work, Monday to Friday, or whenever your work schedule is, a half-hour break, 10-minute breaks during your half-hour lunch break, when you can spend time practicing the presence of God. Office altar, or what some people like to call a mobile altar. A mobile altar, their car, when they drive to work, when they drive to functions, when they drive to appointments, when they drive home, when they drive to church, when they drive to their grocery shopping, when sometimes they are able to shut the noise out, and because of their busy lives, they are able to take a 5-minute break, a 10-minute break, just practicing the presence of Almighty God. We must prioritize the altar of God. I'll never forget the impact that the altar had on my own personal life as a young, growing Christian. Some of you might know my story. I got saved from a Muslim family. And when I got saved, nobody in my family or in my household knew anything about the service of God or the Christian way of serving God. I thank God that probably 90% or more of the people in my family today are now saved, fully converted, and many of them actively serving in different churches. But in those days, it was an unusual and unpopular thing. But I'll never forget, I was blessed to be in a school, in a boarding school. And that's where I met the Lord. That's where I gave my life to Christ. And I'll never forget, 6 a.m. every single morning before class. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Remember my background, I didn't come from a Christian background. This was really strange to me. This was really new to me. Yeah, the Muslims will pray and they do their thing, but this was different. 6 a.m. every morning, our senior students, especially those who were the leaders of the Christian fellowship, it turned out that our senior prefect was actually also a Christian. So many of them were officials in the school, and that gave Christian life and Christian worship, it gave it an esteem before those of us who were young Christians. They would come around our dormitories and wake us up. In my entire dormitory, I was the only one they woke up, because I was the only one who had fully committed my life to Christ. But then they would wake up people in my dormitory, then they would go to other dormitories and wake up other people, and all of us would gather together in a room. That was supposed to be like the house prefect's room upstairs somewhere. And that was our altar. All of us from 6 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Because as a young, growing Christian, that became the bedrock and the foundation of my Christian life. Some of those people would never know what God used them to do in my life. I don't know if without that altar, if I would have made it as a child of God. I don't know if I would have, because it was so unpopular in our school to be a Christian. In my entire class, I was the only one, the only male. There were many females, but I was the only male. And it was a laughable thing. When they talked about us as carrying Bibles, they used to call us back then SUs. And sometimes Christians used to be ashamed, hiding. But you know what? That family altar gave us a place of identity with God. We will go there. We will fall on our knees. We will worship God. We will sing songs. Then when we're done, somebody will share like a 5-minute or 10-minute morning devotion. And then we'll pray together and we'll dismiss. And throughout the day, that altar, that worship from the morning will carry me right through. It will focus my mind. It will focus my spirit. No matter what's going on in the class, no matter the experiences, whether good or bad, something kept me plugged into the presence of God. I carried this consciousness around with me that I was in the presence of God. So much so, it was difficult to fall away from the faith. When many of the other people who got saved at the same time that I got saved fell away, it was difficult. I was plugged in, but that altar was one of the major things that God used. And I thank God for those people he used, those other believers he used, to implant that in my life and in the lives of so many other people in our school way back then, in the early 80s. And I give God praise for the impact of that altar. I know that through my Christian life, I haven't always kept that. But every time I remember my altar is broken down, I'm pulled right back there to go and repair that altar and rear up my time, my place, and my purpose of worship before the Lord. We must prioritize the altar of God. Worship is practicing the presence of God. I know that's a very strange term for many people, but let's read a scripture here in Genesis chapter 5 about the man Enoch. Worship is practicing the presence of God. Why do we call it practicing the presence of God? Because it means going there and being there and living actively and demonstrating and walking as though you know you are in the presence of God and you are having fellowship with him. You are having fellowship with him. So we call it practicing the presence of God. It's almost like, you see the word practicing, it's ongoing. Ongoing. That you are in the presence of God. And with your heart plugged into the heart of God, you are lifting up your voice. You are worshiping him. You are blessing his holy name. You are going through the Psalms. You are reading the word. You are fellowshipping with him. Let's read Genesis chapter 5, verse 22 to 24. The Bible says, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. That's a complete, he lived a complete life. Hallelujah. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. God enjoyed him so much. Let me read this from the Amplified. Enoch walked in habitual fellowship. Habitual fellowship. That's practicing the presence of God. Habitual fellowship with God after the birth of Methuselah, 300 years, and had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God, and he was not, for God took him home with him. God so enjoyed Enoch's presence and Enoch's altar and Enoch's worship that God says, I need more of you in heaven. I need you to be here with me in heaven. We must prioritize the altar of God. When we prioritize the altar of God, the presence of God filters and then settles around our lives. And when the presence of God settles around our lives, he dwells with us and he fulfills his word in our lives. The altar, the practicing of the presence of God, is spending quality time with God. Sometimes just being there. Sometimes speaking to him. Sometimes singing. Sometimes meditating. Sometimes just reading his word aloud. Sometimes just being silent and listening to him speak. The quality of our Christian life is dependent on the quality of our personal worship with God. Remember in John chapter 4 from verse 21, the Bible says God is actually actively looking for people who will do this. God is actively looking for people who will do this, because not everybody, not many people have learned the power of raising up and repairing their altar and keeping it alive with the fire of God. But God is actively looking for people who will do this. John chapter 4 from verse 21. Let's read that. He says from verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, this the Samaritan woman who he met by the well, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, verse 23, and now is when the true worshippers, true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. See, God is looking for genuine worshippers, true worshippers, not public worshippers, not only those who worship when they are with groups, not only those who worship when everybody is around, not only those who worship by name, but he's looking for true worshippers, those who have an altar, a regular altar. And when you have that altar, because God is looking for you, he always finds you, and his presence will always dwell with you. Hallelujah. Worship is spiritual intimacy with God. Worship is the highest form of intimacy any human can know. Worship is one of the deepest ways of knowing God and becoming intimate with him. Let's read Psalm 42, verses 7 and 8. Psalm 42, verses 7 and 8. And then we're going to read that Psalm of David that we read in Sunday, in the service on in Cleveland on Sunday, Psalm 27, verse 4. Let's read first Psalm 42, verse 7 and 8. It says, verse 42, 7 and 8, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy ways and all thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. The Amplified says, it says, roaring deep calls to roaring deep at the thunder of your waterspouts. All your breakers and all your rolling waves have gone over me. That talks about intimacy. When you are swimming in the river of God, your rolling waves have gone over me. Yet, verse 8, the Lord will command his loving kindness when you rear up an altar. When you rear up an altar and you practice the presence of God, the Lord himself, he will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song will be with me, a prayer to the God of my life and of my salvation. When you raise up that altar, the Lord himself will come down and visit with you. The Lord himself will come down, like he used to come down in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. I bet Adam and Eve had an altar. They had a place of appointment with God. God knew where to meet them, and they knew where to meet God. And every evening, every day, in the cool of the day, they will arise. They will go to that spot, and they will rear up an altar before God. And while they are rearing up the altar, here comes the presence of Almighty God. Beloved, if we're going to enjoy the blessings of heaven upon the earth, we must commit to repairing the altar and keeping it alive with fire. We must commit to prioritizing the altar of God. I'll give you this scripture and you can write it down and meditate on it later on. Genesis 18, 1 to 10, 19 to 23. Genesis 18, verse 1 to 10, 19 to 23. That's Abraham worshiping God, making God, practicing the presence of God, making God happy, causing God to smell a good aroma and feed on spirit food. Worship ministers to God because it is spirit food. It is our spiritual burnt offering. We don't worship God to get something from him. When you worship God, that's not the time to ask him for anything. That's when you come and you give him your burnt sacrifice. That's when you give him your heart. That's when you give him your soul. That's when you give him everything. You give him something that is of worth and value because of who he is. Worship causes us to fall down. Worship causes us to roll before the Lord. Worship causes us to honor God. Worship causes us to sing before him and meditate before his presence. Sometimes worship makes you silent before him. You just stay there, still, silent, while his presence hovers around you. I remember way back then, we had tips. They gave us tips, helpful tips. for worshiping God. Helpful tips for practicing the presence of God. There's no way you can write all of this down because I'm going to rush through it right here in a minute. But you can just jot one or two things down that are helpful to you that you found that you've considered helpful. Practical tips, helps that can help you in practicing the presence of God. When you have a chunk of time, for most people, that happens on weekends. If you work a regular Monday to Friday kind of job schedule, work schedule. Whenever you have a chunk of time, to ahead of time, budget a part of that time for your altar. I know on a regular basis, every morning, hopefully, or if you work like different shifts, it's a time in the day for many people when you speak to God, when you spend time with God, when you worship God. But usually those are very short, you know, quick going things, maybe 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour for at the max for many people, most people, max, for most people, at the max, I think it's usually about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. But if you have a weekend where you know, oh yeah, I'm doing my laundry, I'm doing my groceries, to actually budget ahead of time, I'm going to take 45 minutes or 1 hour and just practice the presence of God. So when you have a chunk of time, to prioritize that time and give God a major part of it, 45 minutes, 1 hour, if possible more than that, especially when you have that time, just to be with Him, listen to His Word, study His Word, and then worship. Go through some psalms of worship. Play some music of worship. Fall before the Lord if you can. I want to encourage you. I know there are people who go to the church sometimes on weekends. I know there are some people who go strange times during the week. And, you know, some you may not have access, but certainly there are many people who have access. There are times when you can do that. For many of us who, in our homes, we can't really do that because there's too much distraction. There are too many things calling for attention. Well, you can go to the church. You can make that time, maybe early on a Saturday morning or late on a Saturday night or Saturday afternoon or Friday evening or some other time of the week that works for your schedule, and just lay before the Lord. We call it the altar in the church, but you know what? The altar is really more symbolic than it is actual. Your altar before the Lord, that's the real altar. That's that time that you spend practicing the presence of God. So do that. Take time to be quiet. Listen. Worship Him. Kneel before Him. Bow before Him. And then sometimes on a daily basis, just create worship breaks. Sometimes, like I said earlier, during your break time, maybe your break time is half an hour, 1 hour, you know, from time to time, just budget 10 minutes or 15 and say, well, I'm going to go to my car or I'm going to find a little cubicle and I'm just going to just worship God. I'm just going to stay before the Lord and just honor God's presence and just practice His presence. Sometimes when you are sitting at your desk alone at work, and you have a little time, not necessarily your break time, maybe a 2-minute break, and you know you don't have any distraction, just shut everything off, and just for 2 minutes, just close your eyes and worship the Lord and thank Him. And have a time between you and Him right there. Between you and Him right there. If possible, if you are able to, budget the first few minutes of your day, every day, and the last few minutes of every day before the Lord for your altar, for spending time with God, for speaking to Him, for fellowshipping with Him habitually. Determine, this is another one, determine to use every opportunity that the devil brings your way for sin to worship God. When the enemy challenges you with your temper or your emotions or your mind or things around you, physical things and all of that, use that as an opportunity to worship God. That's your altar. That's your altar. Gradually walk God. This is another one. Gradually walk God into your casual discussions with your friends, with your colleagues. Talk about some of the deeper things of God. Don't be weird about it. Don't be weird. Don't be tactless. Don't be without wisdom. But walk God sometimes. Walk God. Sometimes just say, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. In a casual way, in a casual conversation, sometimes introduces the altar of God. There are so many other things we can do, but those are a few practical tips. I want us to close, and I want us to read in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. And I want you to read with me from verse 1 to 11. If you can, open your Bible there. This is where I'm going to close tonight. This is a scene of heavenly worship. This is a scene of an altar right there in heaven. Revelation chapter 4, I want to read from verse 1 to 11 real quickly before I close tonight. And after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. You see, the same thing Elijah said, come near, come up hither, and I will show you these things that must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set up in heaven, one sat upon the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings of voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were four beasts. You see the scene in heaven, the scenery. You see the picture. You see the movie in heaven. Well, if we're going to have heaven on earth, we can practice this in our daily lives. Verse 8, and the four beasts, I had each of them six wings about him, and they were full eyes. They were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the four and the 20 elders, they fall down before him that sat on the throne, and they worship him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their thrones before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are, and they were created. Oh, thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O God, to receive glory, glory and honor, glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things created. Thou hast created all things. And for thy pleasure, they are created. Thou art worthy, O God. You know, you can do that by yourself, around your altar, and the presence of God will fill that place where you are there, singing songs of worship to him. And it won't be long if your spirit is really there, you are doing it in spirit and in truth, that the presence of God will saturate that place. And before you know what's going on, heaven will be right there. Heaven will be right there. We talk about heaven on earth, where you walk through the day. We talk about heaven on earth, while you go to your office. We talk about heaven on earth, while you are interacting with people. How many of us know you can start with heaven on earth in the morning? You can give time during the weekend outside of church service to create heaven on earth, that atmosphere that will carry you with the presence of God everywhere you go, and miracles, signs, and wonders will follow you. I pray that this year you will not only repair the altar if it has been broken down, but that you will keep it alive every day, every week, every month. Keep it alive with the fire of God. I thank you again for being a part of our service tonight. May the Lord bless you. See you tomorrow.